Timeless and Balanced Vibrations family, good day.
Wholeness.
Wholeness
family.
Wholeness, Brother Sean.
Wholeness, everyone.
Wholeness, everyone.
Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters. Wholeness.
Wholeness and balance.
Grandmas, grandpas. Wholeness.
She a vibe.
Ancestors.
Wholeness family.
Wholeness vibrations, everybody.
Wholeness vibrations. Balance. Yeah, honey, I don't want to see your boobs.
Wholeness and balance vibrations, tribe.
Wholeness family.
Wholeness.
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 All right, family, wholeness. I trust that everyone is doing exceptionally well. It's been another powerful session. You know, I feel like every time we come through here every single day, we come with more power, more strength, more awareness, and more clarity. I'm going to take a moment to make sure everything is in alignment. This is a Secret Energy Worldwide Meditation Day 23. This is now the habit. After 23 days, they say, is you got it, you on point. And it's Saturday, so you know there's got to be, you know, a certain level of I think we would say severity, like getting very serious about a few things just because this is the best day to do it. We get the most clarity about, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to stop playing with it. That's why this energy has a tendency to be so serious. It's very necessary to what we're experiencing in the reality, especially since there's so much abundance, there's so much knowledge, there's so much joy. You know, there's so much love, there's so much compassion. We went through all of that yesterday, and then there's still such a big importance at being able to say, okay, now let me stand straight though in all of this. Let me set my projections properly, because we can't be playing around with that. Like, if I'm in this amazing experience, it's because I projected that amazing experience. I can't let anything mess with the projector that's projecting the amazing experience. Let's get it very, very clear here that today what you need to know and what you need to be comfortable with is that, well, I'm going to give you an itemization of what you need to be comfortable with yourself, but overall what you need to be aware of is that there is a point where you're going to have to step in for yourself. It's going to come to everybody. So anybody who hasn't done it yet, they could be so great. They could be so amazing. But if they're not stepping in there for themselves, if they're not controlling their own projector, it's going to be the same thing as usual. Like a lot of times right now, we're thinking what's going to happen, and what the same thing that always happens for the people that actually do certain things. And that's so the variety of what's going to happen is going to be just as vast as what's happening. But the decisions that we choose to make are actually based on core metaphysical principles that are going to still be the same choice that we need to make on the astral planes, on in any other space, on alien worlds, wherever you are. This is always going to come right in front of your consciousness for you to have to deal with the potential of being able to control your own destiny. We always use that word in the Code of the Matrix, destiny. It's tiny, it's small. There's so many words like time that mean minute, week, minutes. All that is like petty stuff to the supreme being. And for you to project something vast, you have to be vast. Like, you have to see that from yourself. You have to see yourself growing. You have to see that change in the being that you once were to where you are now. And then you also have to make very sober estimates of yourself. Constantly. It's like a check and balance system that goes on with yourself every day. That is my energy, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, is it all giving out the proper vibration of where I think that I'm at? That way I don't think that I'm too far up there or too low down there and then I miss the mark. So this year, 2020, is clarity. It shows us not playing no games. It's all about clarity and precision. Great, that's a weapon. Clarity is a beam that can move out all distortions. So where we point it at and what we point it, because if you think about something that's moving things out of the way, when all those things are moved out of the way, what do we see? Like, think about what a beam is and what a projector is and a laser and all of that light, all of that is. When it pushes all of the distortions and things out of the way. But then it's like, but what do we see? What do you choose to see? What do you choose when those colors start coming back in again and creating the patterns and the designs and the frequencies that you're living in? What did you create all that to actually be? Because we want to be these creators so bad, and we've got that wish. Beings here create ideas, they create children, they create projects, they do all sorts of stuff. So we got that. We got the wish of being creators. Last night we had a powerful session in Tribe Vibes and we did some polls. And in that process, we came to an awareness that the only thing everybody 100% agreed on is that whatever we put our intentions on collectively start to happen really fast. Manifestation. But the question was also asked in somewhat of a tent to just check really briefly if everyone understands the laws and principles of manifestation. So I still have to say, as I'm watching the feverish intensity that is going towards highlighting where these situations are coming from, what's causing them, how all that's going on from the conscious community, there's still no solution. If for me, that would be the only scary part, to be honest, that human beings that are so brilliant or say that they're so brilliant and so fantastic have absolutely no real solutions for a situation that's occurring on all levels, but they're supposed to be so great and fantastic. So they're kind of like, we'll reflect on them. Maybe that has nothing to do with great and fantastic. If we could just wipe that off and say, well, no, great and fantastic is totally dependent on something different. I actually believe that. I believe words like great, fantastic, brilliant, all that kind of stuff, from what the energy they give off, is really a reference to a space that we already are in on the highest levels and who we truly are. They had sojourned through all of this and gone through all these things and learned about all this knowledge and went through the process of all the organisms we've been through to stand in creation. So yeah, I feel like that all of that is all part of this truth that we're living. But I've also learned that as you're going through this, because you don't really know anything yet, like you're a baby, the same way you came in the world, like if it wasn't a point where you had to depend on something else to sustain your life, it would have never come in the template. If it wasn't a part of the algorithm, you would never have to come into a state or a moment or a point where you have to depend on something else. If it wasn't in the algorithm, it's in the algorithm for a reason. We've demarked it for us. It's because for us all to depend on one another, to be supported by each other, because we're all part of the same thing. That is the running story. So now, since we're in this now together, again, to move in synchronicity, it means that you connect because you agree on the same things. When you agree on the same things, there's an immense level of power. Look at even Islam. These are a group of people that agreed on the same things. And then now there's billions almost. I think it's billion, 2 billion, something like this, of Muslims in the world. And again, the issue is with something that is still 2,000 years old, 25 years old, or may have some objectives or whatever, is it's not 2020. It's not right now. So we should have changed gears already spiritually and metaphysically into something very sound, just as exact as what they call their arts and their sciences. And then when somebody was talking any kind of mumbo jumbo about that they were sick or that there was a problem with controlling the high levels, all of that would have been solved by our master scientists and geniuses. You know, our 5 and 6, 7 finger beings, you know, 5 or 7, 8 eyes, and all of these things that we've been claiming that is ours and a part of who we are and what we're calling in and what we're talking to and who's telling us something. Meaning that you get these ET stories and these people talk about, they're talking to the ET and the ET does this. Well, tell this ET to bring something applicable for this realm right now. Tell this AI to come up with and resequence a genome that will allow this all to be fixed holistically. Tell these things that we believe so much in to do their performance already or get out of the way. This is what's going to happen here. It's 2020. Anybody that doesn't know what they're talking about should just get out of the way. It's going to cost all of the people that are listening to that being. That's why it's important for us to echo the same things and all be connected and know the same things and agree. This is an agreeance. Are you in agreeance? I am in agreeance. So I did want to lay out today in a very simple level. Remember, this is Saturday, so I got to go into that mode. On a very simple level, the 4 rules that I feel that are key, because they are the rules that I had to go by in order to get to this stage. My world does not look like a disaster. Now I'm at that other part of the journey for those that want to know, you know, what actually happens after you achieve every single thing that you want to achieve. Still out there on the tip of your stern, looking for other vistas. That's what happens. Because you have with you your entire tribe and family, and you must explore and find the new place. Find the place that everyone's going to be okay. Not everybody can go internal yet. So that's why the explorer is going to fix outside and see what's happening there. Still working on guiding things. And I'm going to show you how all that comes about. Because in the beginning of this, I was told one thing very, very specifically. Because I had already gone through a large amount of spiritual education, if you may. Like, all the way up to a master's degree already in knowing everything about the angelic realms and all the different worlds and the entities that live there, rulers, kings, mages, sages, witches, warlocks, all the whole 9 since I was a little kid. And I'm not talking about Dungeons and Dragons either, even though I may get on that too. I had already the ability to see into things, to control the dream. And I did that on in the most innocent level of a child, and I peered into this world to see what it truly is, and I never forgot what I saw. And because my environment then, as it is now, was supporting spiritual progress, my mother, like, not TV, those books, that I got a chance to refresh myself as a being of all the statistics about spirits, real spirituality. What are spirits? What do they do? Where do they come from? Etc. So in conclusion, because I just want to take you to the end of the story, I realized that, like we talked about yesterday, the most powerful things are still invisible. And because most people cannot see them, but they can actually feel them if they in tune with themselves, they don't understand what happens when they say that they're in agreements, they're in alignments, or they call upon certain beings. Because they're young.
This is where a lot of this pedo and all of that, you got to even watch what words you say on this internet these days. You just get yourself removed. All that stuff is centered around something that's happening on the astral plane, something that's happening in the metaphysical world before it exists here first. And it has to do with the abuse of a childlike spirit that does not know what awaits across the spectrum and is constantly being forfeited, aborted, and molested in many different ways. Based on the connection of other with their connection that they have with other beings that are so vast, they have not begun to reveal how long they've been here and what is their story, how many things they've seen. And while you think that this may be a story so separate to human beings, it becomes very clear that even as a human being, once we breach regeneration, which happened a long time ago, the ability to stay in the world for what people would perceive as forever, sliding in and out of bodies and forms. This created another scenario, meaning if you could live 12,000 years in full consciousness or almost unlimited, as long as there were living beings, you can live. This is the highest level of the realm of technologies, if you may, the spiritual technologies that are residing here on the planet. That as long as they're a living being, you can live. You can move right from one living being to the nether, choosing magnificent designs such as eagles, and hydras and anything that you can think of, gaining its visions, its sight, and then as it passes on, you pass on to another being and go into that, and you're doing that consciously. So we call them sliders. So in that, the issue becomes, if you're like looking to gain something, you want something, you need something, you got to be gratified with something, and the energy starts turning in that direction, you become an untold thing after thousands of years because you need a stimulus. Now imagine, again, if you just had all the bread and you have people around you that are willing to do whatever you tell them to do for one reason or another. If you are not tightened down in here really well, this is going to turn into something really crazy because you're going to keep, just like, let's say, for instance, buying, let's take it into something in its reality, buying shoes. So I guess, you know, for women, it's buying shoes. For men, maybe buying video games. I know another cat's like, I don't play video games, but you got something. You're buying gym shoes, something that it's like a repetitive thing where you just keep buying and keep buying and keep buying. Now imagine you don't have a limit. Time is the limit. You just broke the limit. There's no such thing as time anymore. Do you see how tough it is to gain and maintain more or less a bearing in that? So let's say 99% of the beings do. They know how to stay in control of everything and having access to that and how you should really keep balanced at all times, making sure you don't get oversaturated with what's happening. But let's say there 1% of the beings decided, I can't take it anymore. I got to have it all. I got to have everything. And they have that same ability lasting 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,000 years, sliding from one life form and one body to the next, finding hosts that it could be assimilable with. Now, I'm mentioning that because when you open back up the spiritual door again, when you don't know who these beings are and you don't know what their names really are and you call them and you think that they're not there, they are there. This is what I discovered in the dream world. The dream world is in a realm where voice and time, like what you actually say is done much more faster than here. Now, just like any journeys, you realize that that place is here now, but there's layers to all of this. So stepping in the dream world, calling on a certain thing, boom, it's right there right away. And it's like, you know, it's weird. So they're just like right there. And when the first time it happened to me, I asked because I was already guarded, protected, you know, big time dream team with me. How is it that you can appear here, but when we call you in the real world, you don't appear? And this being said, I do appear there. It just takes me some time. But here I'm omniscient. So this means that here in this cog, when we say certain words, they do eventually get here. But just like we learned about wavelengths, vibrations, and frequencies, it takes time to get through certain densities, okay? So rule number one that was presented to me, since I had so much of this awareness, when I finally got to this stage, this particular spectrum, this step on the ladder, rule number one was do not deal with any external beings. Period. No excuses. That was rule number one. There's only four rules here in my world. I just wanted to make sure that I was able to translate that to this tribe in our co-creation so you can at least understand what where I'm at. Because then if that aligns with where you're at, then we're into alignment and we have a real co-creation happening because everyone is working with the same tuning on their spectrum with a little dab of their uniqueness. But if there's certain things we're not agreeing on anyway, then you can maybe go and subscribe to David Icke's view of it. You can go and maybe subscribe to, I don't know, Brother Sanchez's view of it. You can go and subscribe into those co-creations because those are projectors. Also, they wouldn't receive this level of a mantle and ordainment if they didn't have projectors or trumpets, if they weren't also the prophetic voices of the time. But prophecies are about where currency is going to be going. Currency is energy. It's not cash. Energy in the body generates cash. That's what I'm going to explain here and also in just a moment. Some people are going to feel the burn for real in 3 months about the cash situation. We're working on stabilizing things, but it's not for us to actually be taking care of your situation with your current energy in your body. It is for us to be a well that you can tap into once you get your system and everything working together. And what we've done is even left manual after manual after manual, how to get your system working and together so you can plug into this inexhaustible current. But if you go into baby mode and act like something is supposed to support you, that is the same situation that you're actually in right now. And this is something different. This is where nobody supports you here. Everybody supports everything. You support yourself. That supports everything in that order. So if you're coming in and you're bringing in these leeches and these different entities and things that you don't know about, and you're calling on these names, especially when you're afraid, at minimum, these beings are quantifiers. Meaning when they move into your field, whatever it is that you feel like, they're going to magnify. So all of the pain and all the fear and the suffering, I need this. Oh, he's dying. And then that energy goes out and then they call a name. And then they send that energy down that telephone line and it responds. But it responds based on the energy that is being given with its own uniqueness and spin on it. And what this has caused is an absolute mess in the projection. It was mentioned by the original Mashiachs in the books that were written, the ones that are in Nag Hammadis. There's original books by whoever the Mashiach really was. It's a writing style. Looking into this time and saying, what really happened? Like, so what do you see in the future? What really happened, Mashiach? And it said, man, they went to wandering after the external stars. It says that verbatim in the Nag Hammadi, if you're willing to read through all the fragments, that people started wandering externally after things, and they started sending all their energy out to it, and it was like that. They became lost. Rule number one, keep the energy inside. If it's really the truth, it'll be where you're going. But to fire energy outside, it's blasphemy. It's the unpardonable. You cannot give energy greater than that of yourself to something else. Everything works into this internal cycle. It is the motion and the creation of life and death. Bringing it in and cycling it back out. You're bringing it through a filter. You're just an alchemical vessel. So it's going to go through your consciousness. It's going to go through all of your organisms. It's going to go through everything and what you've perfected. And then it's going to come out the other side because energy is going to keep moving. But when it gets there, it had gone through your filter of beauty, and now you're going to distribute it back into the realm for someone else to inherit that same thing, and then in turn, you're going to receive it again. That's a direction of energy. That is specific when you look at how that would work. However, if you're going out, you could see what the error would be. It took me so many times to learn this. to really see the damage of what external forces can do. So when I went to Law 1, it was not hard for me to obey Law 1. I agree. The external thing, done. 2, since we're having this conversation, this means we're actually at a certain space and time, Mr. Vomar. So what needs to happen, though, because in the space and time that you have, it's like a balloon. You know, like the balloons you ride on. You know how they use fire to make the balloon go up. But then they got these weights that actually allow them to basically keep the balloon down. What was being explained is that you need to go up there now. You need to actually see higher self clearly. You need to check in. But you cannot check in with all this weight. What is intentionally allow you to be where you are? I say intentionally because this is not about what you're doing wrong and why you should be punished and that whole dogmatic theory. It's, well, the reason why you are where you are is because of the weight that's actually around you. It's as simple as that. So when you remove the weight, you actually go up. I know that sounds like just so basic that you don't even want to try it, but it is the real thing. So let me show you some stuff, though. And it would flip on one of these switches. I can't tell you specifically which one. And I would see the whole room and everything that was in it and what kind of energy it was really giving off. And as I said before, the most disastrous things were discs, DVDs. Actual DVDs of certain types of music and certain movies. Because the magnets were allowing them to actually project their entire little micro holographic dimension right there on their disc. But the field was completely entangled, so that was also seeping into the field. And that was only the beginning. I walked into the closet, and I saw things that people had gave me had their entire imprint on it. And it was in a replica of the condition they were currently in. And many of them wasn't doing so well at that stage. It's just like when you play someone's voice, let's say a rapper, a Cardi B or whatever, and then that's playing in the house, all of her state right now is in the house. Not when she wrote it, her state right now, because that is a telephone number. Her voice is a telephone number to her. It calls her, she arrives. Now, these beings that arrive are the multiple variants of self. They would call them RANs. It makes perfect sense, too, because our English word for a plural of running is you ran, you left. The Chemetans in was that Syriad said that there were several beings that we had that they were going and coming. I know the llamas, theirs look like rams with multiple eyes. And when they focus and project, it's like this ram thing with multiple eyes that comes out. And it's going and coming so fast, bringing information back to them. I had slipped into one of the llama realms one night. I don't have no clue why. I guess they just wanted me to see. And I went in there and I saw these beings all sitting in this geometries of theirs. But how they were communicating is these rams with eyes moving around. And when I first arrived there, I was terrified because I thought one of these things were going to hit me. And I was just calculating right away that the speed that they're moving, if I stand in their way, then with all that speed. So that was where my mind was first when I arrived, until one ran right through me. And then I realized, okay, they're somewhat like translucent because they're so fast. And this is how all the information and communication was being transferred between these beings. And this, again, bears witness to the awareness of the Chemetans of the RAN, where when we think something, we have something that goes and it gets it. It experiences it. You can say, I'm going to go to the store. This is how petty it's gotten these days. Remember, the RAN had all sorts of use. Now it just gets sent to the store. I'm going to go to the store. RAN goes to the store, peeps out what's going on, comes back. Yeah, you should go to the store. Then the person says, yeah, I'm going to the store. If RAN goes, peeps out, and actually sees, because the RAN's moving so fast, it's actually moving through a slip of time. So it can see kind of probabilities and things that may happen to you. And if it doesn't see the path clear, and this is even like running into people that's going to take a conversation, steer you off into the thing, it will go and be like, come back, be like, just go later. Yeah, I'm going to go later. And until you realize how fast these things move and things move in your consciousness, this is what they call the light beings. But never really thinking that, well, shoot, then you would be moving around like slow-mo compared to how the vibratory frequency of these beings that are also a part of you really are. When you study frequencies, when you know what is 7.83 hertz, how does that move? How does that sound? What is bass? How does that move? How does it sound? Are there really negative frequencies? When you know the answer to those questions, because there is real research on this, just like you have a cell phone right there, that thing pops all the way up to now 5G, whatever. That is an entire spectrum and wavelength that does do something, and it is so exact. It is not hocus pocus. There are people that know those laws and have to go to school for that. So since everybody's got a day off, I'd encourage somebody to 3-degree separation, contact one of these people and ask what else can be done in that spectrum. If even if it's being used as a weapon, can it be used as a way to wake other people up? Because surely it would have that same use. It's about making sure that we're penetrating every single thing and allowing that to actually become a benefit, or we let it go. So number two was, get this stuff out of here, Seven. So there were things also that I saw that have money attached to them. I remember there was like, I don't know, I think it was a watch or something. I bought it off a dude. I don't know where the dude got it from. I'll just leave it like that. But I know he didn't get it from the store. This thing was reeking with issues. And the thing was, I never even wore the watch. It was like one of those things where when they sold it to me because of the value of it, I was like, shoot, if you don't give it to me for this much, I'll buy it. I don't even really like it, but I know what it's worth. And I kept it there and it was around me. And I never threw it away. I never wore it. And this thing alone was kicking up 25% of the chaos in my reality. This is just having a chance, if you have a guide, to see the unseen. All of you have a guide. So right away, I started throwing stuff out of the cargo hangar. And this is what I realized within a few days. Everything that was remaining was exactly what I needed. And it also put me into a really strong sequence. It's like going into a cabinet and the only thing that's there is only things that you need. And right in front of you is the things that you used most. And it made everything so much faster and fluid in what I was dealing with. So this was law number two, drop the weight. Law number three. Now, after I had dropped the weight, the kinetic connection of knowing what to do was only asking and you were receiving. From higher self directly. What should I do? Do this, do this, do this. Meaning it would tell you the same thing 3 times because that seems to work with human beings. You tell them to do something 1 time, a couple hours later, you're off doing something else. It's like, didn't I just tell you to do this? It's like a kid. Didn't I just tell you to focus on your ground? Now you're over there trying to turn on your third eye. I told you the ground first. Trust me, you'll learn why you need ground once you cut that third eye on. But the ground. So 3 times it would say, Costa Rica, Costa Rica, Costa Rica, when I ask, where should I go? Because if it just tells me 1 time, I'm gonna get to the airport and be like, going to Guam. Like, how did you end up in Guam? Didn't I tell you Costa Rica? Well, you only told me 1 time. I thought you wasn't serious. This is like a relationship between a parent and a child, that between higher self and where we currently are at sometimes. Because it did take me 2 weeks of a multi-resplendent being and all the chakras open for me still to break the hard-headedness of still trying to prove whether this is real or whether it exists. It broke me. That's why when I wrote the code of the matrix, I said, reason number one, reason number two, of the logical sense of why you cannot prove there's no paranormal stuff going on. And in fact, it weighs way over in the other direction. There's a whole bunch of things happening. And what I did was spend 2 weeks saying, are we there yet? Why? I mean, I would just drill this being, but why? And it would keep answering and answering. I found myself so deep into the awareness. I was like, man. And it was just explaining, like, why do I got to get rid of it? This reason, that reason. Can you see it? This is why you would see it. This is where it came from. This is what it was doing. Until after 2 weeks, I was like, okay, we don't need to go through this. Let's get to what do we need to do? We got to wake up into entire humanity. All right, let's go get it. Actually, it doesn't involve you going to everyone else. Huh? Like, wait a minute. Because now I'm leveled up at this stage and I'm ready. Like, I'm geared up. I'm no longer in disbelief. I'm seeing the entire world through an obsidian ball from tomorrow. with a hood on my head, not looking in anybody else's eyes, back somewhere doing, taking deep breaths. I'm out. Like, I'm not assimilable anymore to human beings. You see me, you're gonna be like, this nigga didn't walk right out of Harry Potter. What's going on? I had a huge book. I had the Aleppo Lodge book of the evidence of what was going on, and I was rolling with that going into the store. I didn't care what you thought, who you were, I had seen, and you were never going to convince me to be blind again. This is where I was at. This is where I started. And I said, well, shoot, the first thing we're going to do is take down Chris Angel. This was my plan. I had bossed up on myself. And the being was like, higher self was like, nah, that's actually not the plan. If you go out there like this, we'll never see you again. They're going to suck you dry. All of what you have that you think is power is going to be buried in doubt. And I witnessed some of that. I witnessed how, man, I was gung-ho about making sure the whole thing transformed into something great. And others were still arguing and trying to blackball me and ridicule me. And I was taking hits because of that, because I thought that this was going to be the good news. There was a new world open and we could go there now. And then what happened is that because of those guides, they understood all of that and what was going to happen. So I was moved out of that space and I was told, no, you got to go and work on yourself right now. You're damaged. You took a hit. This is what happens when you come into these worlds. So now we need to restore you. We need to repair you. We need to bring you online. Go to Costa Rica because nobody can talk to you because you don't speak the language. And we'll get back with you when you get there. Holler at nature, basically. She'll handle things when you get there. And I stepped off that plane and I started here, and rule number 3 came into play almost within a couple weeks. Right away, I was on the highway of life. I'm in a country that I don't speak the language, but now I'm meeting everybody. I done met Giselle Bunchkins and people that own factories, a lot of just tons of people. And I'm meeting them like in sequence. And every time, because I'm still halfway out of my mind at this stage, they get it. I drill. I'm meeting people from NASA, people with scalar technology, just from one thing to another. Somehow, I guess it's the vacation spot. So everybody ends up here at one point. But I knew I'm on assignment. I'm getting triggered all the time. Like, I'm not even asking questions. I'm just going right into protocol. They're like, hey, my friend Sandra Rose wants to talk to you. She works for NASA. She's got a scalar device here in Costa Rica right now. You want to talk to her? I'm on the way. I'm not asking any questions or anything. I go in there. I see the technology, see what it's capable of doing, realize where she's at, what's going on with her, what's going on with her son, log the data, and ask for the next assignment. So what are we going to do next? Because I got a direct connection saying, now this is what you're going to do next. Go home, sit down, meditate. We'll talk to you in a minute. Boom, next day happens. I'm sitting down. I'm still in meditation. Shit, at this point, I'm not arguing. I'm just feeling the energy, feeling the joy, feeling the love, feeling the connection, and powered up. I can't even sleep. Phone rings again. Boom. Hey, we were listening to what you were saying the other day. I got a friend named Theodore. He's really interested in that kind of stuff. I think you and him should meet. I know it's Christmas. Do you want to talk to him? Absolutely. Put him on. We get on the phone. Hey, what's good? He starts talking for a minute. I say, hey, why don't we skip protocols? I'm headed over there right now. He said, okay, finally we got somebody awake. He hangs up the phone. I go over there. I ride. This dude's already got 20 years worth of everything. Teslas, Tesla cables, machines that clean out the internal body, resonance, bioresonance mats that are like $20,000, $30,000. Like, this was his dream to actually see at one point activation occur. But he was already 65, so all he could do was just pass the mantle. And so I got a chance to experiment with everything, see what was the truth, see what was the lies, and then wait for my next mission. The next thing was like, okay, now you're going to go by yourself. Your footprint is small. My footprint was like $250 a month, and I was still looking right off into the ocean. And just a spot, there was a mansion next door. A guy wanted me to just take a look at the mansion. He couldn't even move into it because his wife was scared of Costa Rica. He's like, hey, man, I just need somebody around to watch the mansion. And there's another little finca there. People come to the mansion because I ran it out. You could stay in that finca, and if not, you could just stay in the mansion. So stuff was still opening up, but I didn't even care about any of that stuff. All I was doing is just going with what I was being told from my elders and my ancestors through that connection, because it was that strong. And he left me with these four rules. and now that I abide by them at all times, they are never not with me. When I say they left me is because when I would stop doing them, I would disconnect. It would just be like almost like night and day. I would have to start thinking about stuff again and wondering what the answers are going to be versus the real connection. And then when I would check back, it was like, man, you got to breathe, man, breathe. And that was what came next. I started first just sitting on the beach. Nobody there. It was like a weird dream. You wake up in paradise, but you're the only one that's there. So it's like a boring paradise. It's like a lonely planet for real. And sitting there, you're starting these breaths. And I had heard so much about breathing, but I just kind of was just breathing. I would feel a little something, but nothing major. I didn't know the key to it. I didn't even know there was a key to it. So most of my time was spent halfway breathing, but still just looking out there, sitting in nature, doing nothing, because I hadn't got any transmissions of what to do. So then I get this transmission because I started also just, you know, switching into the logical mind a little bit, like, well, you know, I need to make sure I can sustain myself. I already had an income that was going to allow me to stay in Costa Rica for 10 years at the current footprint that I was at. So I was like, I got 10 years worth of finances to stay here at the level that I'm at. But I do need to make sure that it's coming in from somewhere else at least. So I had tacked on to providing Rosetta Stones. It felt like that it was the perfect mixture to sell in a country that people come to try to learn Spanish, something that can teach them Spanish. So I put that on Craigslist. And so many people responded to that ad. It would be this thing where I would be like out in the jungle for like 3 weeks. And then I will go and check my email, and it'd be like 100 emails. And I would line up all the points with these people to get the disc to them. And I would go out into the city on the motorcycle, and I would meet all these different people. And those people also I would share the message with. And in a part of this process, someone gave me an invitation to go to a satsang that some guru was holding. So I took the invitation that night because I wasn't going to leave the city. Also, I was curious about what they were up to. And I went to this satsang, and it was kind of like a little festival, just a small one, though. And there was this lady, and she said that she was going to do a breathing workshop at, you know, like 8:30, because it was nighttime, and it was going to be full moon and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, okay. So that time came, and she said, you're going to be my model, right? And I was like, okay. And then, so she started giving these instructions about how to breathe, which I've given in the whole body breathing recording. These were the breathing techniques she gave. So this wasn't just like the breath of fire and all those. Those work and they do wild things. Like even if you purse your lips and you breathe out, this stuff does weird things once you get onto another stage. But remember, as she even mentioned it, you're starting off basically in your coccyx. So it's even not even your nose that can rise your spirit from your coccyx. If it's deep in there, it's your mouth. So the breathing had to take place first through the mouth to get the breaths in first, and then you would shift gears into the nose. But this was just basic whole body breathing and how to open up the diaphragm, which are the sacs that are on your back, because you don't know enough about all of this that's going on in here at times as a baby. But there's these two sacs sitting on the back where people say they have love handles at back there. There's these two sacs and another sac that goes all the way across in a line like a lumbar, and they hold air. And kind of like when you see a frog's body, when those sacs get filled up with air, they activate another part of the consciousness. Something else is in there that receives that air, and it turns something on, and it becomes the chain reaction to unlocking the kundalini. So long story short, the lady almost turned my kundalini on in the middle of the class, and I even had to say, okay, I got it, it's working. And I was already losing not just consciousness, but from my previous experiencing, understanding when a transformation takes place, it's like you just basically go into another frequency. And I felt myself going into another frequency, and I was like trying to, like, I just kind of stopped. Like, okay, we got it. And I sat there for the rest of that class, and I was like, I was blown away. Because I always had to go to myself and ask myself, how did you miss that? That's the key to everything right there. And I always have to calm myself down and be like, okay, remember, there's layers to this. Now we're at the breathing layer. Needless to say, only thing that I was able to do is get this awareness of the breathing from this lady, because it was only the next day, because there was another seminar that she was going to do. And because she had already had demonstrated this task once, I was fascinated about this. This is, again, the naiveness of the neophyte. Check this out. Actually, I probably would be initiated at this stage, but let me show you what happened because I think this part of the story is equally as important. Next day, I get to the class again. The lady sees me. She's like, oh, great. I'm glad that you're here. You're going to be the model again for today, right? So I was like, okay, great. Wow, I said that the breathing exercise is amazing. She said, oh, yeah, I know. We could talk more about that later on. And I was like, wow, I mean, but seriously, like it does it. She's like, yeah, I know exactly what it does. I know everything it does. Remember, I teach it. So I was like, wow, this is fascinating. This lady's going to be able to teach me all these different things about. And I just, you know, I was off in my own land, okay? Later on that night, after it was all over, the lady asked me, she said, hey, can you take me home? My husband is at the house, but he was going to come and get me, and he's not going to be able to come and get me now, so maybe you could take me there. So that disarmed me right away because I wasn't definitely going home with no women at this stage. I was not trying to be around anybody, touch anybody, get into any guy, nothing. I was running from that at this stage. So when I heard husband's going to be at the house, I'm like, okay, cool. So she's not, it's gonna not going to be anything like that. I'm going to go take her to the house. So she jumps back. I'm saying, I'm riding a motorcycle. She's like, oh, I love motorcycles. She jumps back on the bag. We ride off to their house. So we get to the house. She's like, this is a very, very nice house in Costa Rica. So we get there. And we get in the living room, and the husband's there. I'm like, okay, this is strange. And she's like a white lady, you know, and this is, you know, it's a white man in here. And now it's bringing home the black guy. And at this stage, she's like, hey, let's say his name is Cliff. Hey, Cliff, this is Seven. I met him during the class. He's a very amazing person. You know, he was my model for tonight. I'm going to show him some things. We're going to go off into some other parts of the house and see some things. All right. I'm like, damn, Cliff. And then I catch that feeling because, you know, I guess it doesn't matter where you're from. You kind of realize what may be going on. Like, spidey senses start taking, like, wait a minute. Okay. All right. He didn't even look at me. I mean, what's about to happen here? So right then, like, my consciousness is saying, okay, now that voice that I'm also familiar with, I'm going to show you something. And I don't want you to freak out, get all scared and startled, because we've been through this thousands of times about the spirits and the spiritual world and all that kind of stuff, and how that's nothing to fear. Your perfection does not have distortion to fear. But I'm going to show you something because there's something you need to know. So the lady's like, I want you to see some of my art. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we walk back off into a room that she's designated as her art studio. And right away, I mean, I just catch all of the information and download. And I'll just give you this short story. This lady was writing children's books. And she was creating these characters in the books that she also had on these easels in her shop. And each of these characters had cover over the easel. Like, you couldn't see the painting. Okay? But there was one that the cover was off. And it was like a fuzzy wuzzy character with all the hair over the head. It looked creepy. But you could draw this thing in a story to make it kind of look a little bit like it wasn't as harmful. Or was it was nice even. Just even some of the stories, they go right off into demonic kind of stuff anyway. So it's not like parents don't really have a problem with letting their kids deal with these monsters. But what this lady was doing was what, as I said before, the situation with the inversion of Orion, like whatever they had going on, whatever they have going on in there, all these people, oh, I'm from Orion and then Osiris and all this. And they're into some weird, weird, deep, dark stuff that they don't even seem to even, it glaze over at a certain point, and it just takes over them. So this was equally a big part of understanding what was going on in the spiritual realm with this knowledge and who has knowledge, because the breathing technique was free. It set you free, but it was in the hands of someone who was a trapper. And through a process, I learned that not only what she was doing, but also Disney and OTO and all the rest of those cults do, is they're creating things that they're infusing with their spells and their magic, and then they're putting them out in society, either as a symbol or a character. They're writing them into books, and then they get people to believe in them, and then it starts existing in their mind. And because they control it, because the master copy, if you may, is with them, then they can work through it. And that's what she was doing. And she had become so blind, as many of them are. Like, I've witnessed these people do stuff as if they don't think anybody around them has any occult knowledge, because most people don't. And when they get to doing stuff, they just try to run right over you and start doing things. And it's like, meaning they start trying to call on things and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, everybody's like, oh, yes. Oh, that's it. Oh, thank you so much. And then it begins. And it's invisible. People cannot see these things. So long story short, to confirm, because sometimes I always had this check and balance system of myself. It was the only way I could stay stable in the whole thing. Seven, you're just tripping. You're just being paranoid. You think that this is really it, but where is the proof? So this is how I would have to come up with the proofs. But I had another aspect of the conscious, the higher self, that would just tell me the truth right away. Oh, here we go again. He would even do it like in a kind of a way to make you laugh. Oh, here we go again. One of the Orion queens. Watch this. So it will always say it first, and then something would happen. So sure enough, we walk outside. Now I'm spooked because of the thing with the hair on the head and all this kind of stuff. I don't want no parts of this. I'm out of here. Or somebody's going to get hurt. I'm not like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm like, somebody's going to get hurt. I need to get out of here because I don't know. I've seen so much stuff at this point. If this thing turns into a griffin and then back into a woman, it may be slayed on the driveway right now. Then it's going to look crazy to the police. That's how far I would go with what was the potential of what could happen based on what I had seen already. And what was revealed to me to really be the truth. So sure enough, as a last check, because I'm like moving outside. I'm like, I got to go. You know, I got to get back to the house. I'm out of here. And then the lady said, wait. Look at the stars. The stars are so clear, aren't they? And I look up at the sky and the stars were exceptionally clear. And then the lady says, look at it. And I'm like, look at what? And she's like, look at it. Look at Orion. Now, this was when my higher self was laughing. See, I told you. One of those Orion beings again. Now you need to move. The dog, she had this black dog with her. And somehow when she started looking up at Orion, she was doing something and the dog freaked out. It started barking all out and it startled her. And then my being was like, go ahead and exit stage left round. You've seen enough. So I was like, oh, I got to go. She was like, wait. I said, no, I just got to, I'm off in the wind, you know, that was sky. But I had the breathing. I had the breathing. You see? So this is what's very important about all of this stuff that we're seeing out here right now is that there's many of these beings. I'm not sure what they've gotten themselves into. There's a lot of books. All the books, Ostara and all this kind of stuff, they just have a fascination for wanting to be involved in something. And then it starts taking a turn towards the other direction. And on top of that, the females get triggered more than the males. Something about how the whole thing is set up there, they prey on women. So when women call, they arrive almost immediately into the astral side of their dream world, now working their abuse system. But I had the key. And I had also the knowledge of what happens. This is not the first time I've explained this story also. So I'm not coming clean about something and now finally explaining something. This is just in the 10 years worth of annuals that I believe personally, maybe people weren't even listening when I was explaining all this stuff and how it is key components to understanding these four laws. So the third law was learn to breathe. When you learn to breathe, it conquers death. It becomes very difficult for me here for 10 years since understanding death could be conquered to come back into death again. And I'm going to explain to you about this because that is a part of the law number four. But to come back into death would literally mean that you now have to have a conversation as if you're talking to people who don't believe that they live forever, even though you know we all live forever. Because if you don't, you're always going to be almost talking down on them. You're never going to really be able to like harmonize exactly where they're at because you got to remove from your mind that they understand that they cannot die. And it's a simple formula. The key to life or the key to death is life. Life is breath. Breath will always be. So because of that, when you master breath, you have the key to death. It's as simple as that. I don't want to complicate it for you. The first thing you do when you get in here, the thing that you can live the least amount of time with. You can live without water longer than you can live without breath. But the key to breath is it is the liberator, because you have to let it go. That was what we learned about abundance. You got to let it go at some point, but that is abundance is akin to breathing. One second. So abundance is akin to breathing. So the reason why I thought I'd mention this today is because as we go into this next 3 months where we see the restabilization of the economy, those that may have been playing with themselves a little bit about these core principles. Now, each person, they may have their own principles, but I'm pretty sure if they're accelerating, they align in many ways with what I just mentioned. And what happens is that if we're not following these principles, that's why it's not great to have a bunch of principles at the end of the day. You see what I mean? If you got 200 different principles and 200 different prayers and 500 different malas and all this kind of stuff, the human capacity is not there at this point. Make it simple. So if you got these three, four principles, you can check base with yourself all the time. And have I put anything else before me? Have I put anything else before God? I am God. Nobody else comes before me. It will only get them hurt. Higher self needs to be right there with you. If you put somebody in between higher self, you're going to get them hurt. If you have good guides, they will move them out of your way through certain circumstances. Anyway, if your guides are sluggish and lazy, you will go through a whole dramatic situation with that person until you realize the mistake that you made was you put them before yourself. Rule number one, law number one. Law number two, get light. We accumulate so many things on this realm. Life itself is an accumulation. It is only the stardust, particles, minerals, ions, neutrons, electrons, whatever, all one globs on another, coalesce, bacteria begin to form, life is created. So you gotta always flush it, clear it. It's trimurti, hygiene, to bring life, sustain life, destroy life, bring life back in again, reinitiate life. You must have that power. So you need to know when to get rid of things. And you have to also be very clear in your sight. So breathing helps with that, but clear in your sight of why you don't need to have things in your space and in your resonance that are vibrating things that don't serve you. I can say only enough about that. It seems so petty because for me, to be honest, I know it's one of the toughest ones because sometimes you go in and those things have some type of connection where they actually say, don't get rid of me. You need me. I had this rug and this rug was a being. And even to this day, I always be like, man, why'd you throw the rug away? And I always have to tell myself it's because you put the rug on that certain kind of status because of what the rug could do. And I kid you not, this rug, it had this green being, and this being would come out of this rug and start talking and doing all this stuff. This happened during the process of me going through awakening. There was this rug that I had. I don't know where exactly I got the rug from. I think I was at an antique store because my mom also collected antiques, so I knew the value of Persian rugs. And I saw this Persian rug, and it was dope. And I got it. I bought it because I had a lot of bread anyway. I rolled it up. I threw it in the closet like most of the stuff was. And this rug was one of the last things to remain. And when I was activated, when I opened up this rug and I would go to sleep, I would kind of wake up a little bit and I would see a being in the rug. And this rug rolled with us for a while. It wasn't like the rug was a problem until I start realizing just how powerful this rug really was. And then I start realizing just how dangerous something like this was to have around me because it was starting to distract me. So I got rid of the rug. I threw it in the trash and the trash man came and took it away. I never saw it again. But it was tough. It would be tough for me to get rid of that rug if I didn't already realize the same trap that I kept putting myself in with anything external that had more illustrious power that was going to allow me to pull my, that was going to make me pull my energy outside. Until I just ultimately learned the lesson. It was like a child. Because then once I learned the lesson, I can have anything around now. I got crystals and all these kinds. They have all that stuff around now because they don't come before me. They're not seen as objects that I need to have in order to have power. There are objects that I have that possibly can be infused with the power that I have. You see what I mean? So it switches places. And this is the most important aspect of it. And it's something that's often missed. This is why I do not recommend deities. Because even though a person that's recommended them may have a vast understanding of that this is something that's being talked about inside of themselves, actually the same shape of the deity statue is the same shape of the organ they correspond with, and that all the traits of the deity is actually the trait of that organ that's inside yourself. But that's not what these books are saying. That's not what they're saying. They're actually calling on it and mentioning it as external, as it being a being that moves and walks about on its own volition with no control from you. And on top of that, that it can actually bring in things that you would need if you call upon it. That's not it. That's blasphemy. So that whole situation. Then law number four. So you got three. By the way, this comes out very easy. If you want to learn it linguistically, if you want to write it down, internal light breath connection. Internal light breath connection. Right? So yesterday we had the ninefold. Today, internal light breath connection. Internal, of course, this means, hey, take it back inside. Get rid of all the external things. Light, not just the light. Let's call down the light. No. Get light. Get rid of some of this stuff. Breath. Learn to breathe right away. That's the fuel supply. If you have an infinite level of fuel, you have an infinite level of everything that it can equal to. Money, if that's something that you need, another scenario, a situation, consciousness, vastness of being aware of self, all that stuff comes from the breath. It fills in all of those blanks. Nothing else does. That's free. Law number four, connection. What happens is once you get all of this, you actually would still become heavy of it. You would actually like break down back into the second law again, because you would be containing so much of this power and wisdom. If you didn't make a connection, you wouldn't be able to set it free. So once leveling up so much, because I worked at the Institute for a year, went into total activation. I'm going on fast every week. New groups are coming in every week, so I gotta fast. Like this was like the divine comedy of a lifetime. Like I'm literally fasting at least 3 weeks out of a month. I'm thinking the doctor's doing that too. Till one day I catch him eating. He had like a whole room he created that he'd go in and eat while everybody else was fasting. And I was like, basically, Master, you've broken the highest creed. You're eating when everybody else is fasting. And he said, Son, that's for you guys. I've been fasting all my life. And this was the kind of thing that I was dealing with. I had the most divine engagements at times, but they always tried me because I was so serious most of the time. And then it would just break through all of that seriousness at times with a smile and a grin just to show you yourself. Show, you know, how you can even be a joke sometime. You're not even paying attention, man. You don't even think that's real. Are you in this or not? Are you in it or not? If you're not in it, great. Get inside of yourself. If you're in it, that means you went inside yourself and now you're back again, because now you have something to distribute into the kingdoms. Now you've inherited this gift. You've grown your tree from it. You're now producing fruit, and you can now give some of that fruit since you have it in abundance. That is the order. None of those things out of place. Those are the four laws that I had to go through in order to get to this stage of being able to bring it in full circle. I've had a lot of adventures over this whole time. It seems like the full moon, like a cat, is always dragging something in. It's like, oh my goodness, full moon, what are you dragging right now? Oh my goodness, this is a whole nother being in 3D. How does this even work? You know, I continued to be shocked about how much was really happening here until I started synthesizing it. When it was coming to us to say, well, let's make this message a lot more simpler now. We've unpacked the full banquet. Now it's time to put it back into the picnic basket. Now we're going to really need to know what to do. If you're not breathing, your current is going to dry out. You got to take the breaths. Everything, as I said before, what we're creating and co-creating here, the speed of it coming into this reality, because even if we get one quote-unquote money machine, this brings in the energy of a template of one. So more will come up from different places. But it's like using the collective focus and the collective functions to bring in the intelligence, the honesty, and the truth, and the honor of who we truly are. Every single day does count. So right now, there's enough conscious messages out there that every single day there's a new message. So if every day there's a new message, but this message still highlights yesterday's message, then we don't really get anywhere. And I feel like that happens in the conscious community when we're not agreeing on things. So that's why I bought the four laws today, because there are many beings that actually agree to that. It was the higher self that bought it to me. And through the higher self, I connect with everything, because that's what the higher self really is. It takes you out of that singular aspect where you feel like that you're in it alone. I'm sitting in the room by myself, emoed out one day. I've reached too high. I've drunk too much of the top end. I'm back in the world, sitting on my bunk after an astral dream. And I'm like, why do I got to be here? When you start asking these questions, wanting to terminate this existence over here, that's why law number four starts to become so powerful and important for self-mastery. Because if you're bored at home, for those that have climbed the ladder and you feel like that now everybody is they're going in. I told them. It's not enough to say I told you so. I see so much rivalry right now. You got people sitting there that copied information from somebody else online. See, I told y'all. I told y'all what's going to happen. First of all, somebody told you, so technically you didn't tell them, they did. But anyway, what is the glorification of being right when you're not balanced? So where are our pillars? These are our four pillars. If I want to meet any kind of beings, it's going to happen all in here through me, through these organs and how I'm repairing my stuff. If I'm going to have some things around me, it's all going to be responsible for the weight that it has, and it's going to be useful. It's not going to be vibrating something that takes me and harkens me back to a time that is not a vibratory frequency that I'm in anymore. If it's going to be that the true currency of this world is finally going to restore itself, we kind of saw that even now, as I said, with ether. Like our symbolic Ethereum. Ethereum is actually still more popular than Bitcoin. I don't care what anybody says, even despite the prices. The use case is way higher. But the realm of ether stepping in as the awareness of current, meaning that we actually come into this strong awareness that our etheric body's current and how much it has pumping determines our financial situation at minimum. Minimum. The first thing it does is it fixes those things. So if you feel like that, oh, what am I going to do? Well, you better start breathing now. It's like Lamaze. It sounds like you better start getting your birthing process together, because you're going to need this current, and that current comes from within. Then, as I said, lastly, with all you're getting, now you're in the position to give. They always say it's better to give than receive. At least you're not waiting on it. But in this case, now that we have all this awareness, it is also in our giving. The giving turns into compassion. Like, you actually get a chance to see another side of this. That's why you go into a self-mastery. This is for you. When you come back into the consciousness again with your new vision, now you're able really to see what's happening. Now you're able to really live up to the challenge of, but let's find solutions for them. And for each of us, there comes a responsibility. Some of us work with the children. That's our responsibility. Some of us work in the occult fields, spiritual knowledge, astral plane. That's that responsibility. Many of us work in the fields, in the harvest, bringing the food, nurturing the plants, pruning the trees. Some work in the byways and the highways, exporting and importing the cargoes and making sure the fluidity takes place and still happens. Everything that we see in the world happens on a metaphysical level. These are the rules that we practice and the laws that we practice to ensure that, as custodians of this gigantic yantra called life, that we make sure that we're maintaining what's happening properly. We're rising also into the positions that we need to be in. You need to start being the stability. When someone comes in with the doom, you got to turn it off for them. You may be the only one. I'm telling you, sometimes people think that they're so elated when they start coming with the bad story, they expect nobody to cut them off with the bad story because they have so much prestige. So especially if it's like an interview and you're just listening to it, so you got to learn even to cut it off. You'll know. You'll know when you're hearing it. And if you start hearing too much that is not resonating with where you want your projection to go, start mastering the power of shutting it off, because there's already enough consciousness and enough knowledge and information to actually talk about things that you, where you would want to go. Go learn your breathing technique. Go find someone that's just teaching that. You're going to learn more from that, because then that's when you start checking yourself. You start realizing that you're searching on the internet for the next disaster that's going on, and then seeing who is trending on actually talking about that disaster and then liking them and subscribing them, just so that you can come back tomorrow and actually find the disaster again. Even though you know what the disaster supposedly is, it still omits why you're not looking for videos about breathing. It still omits why you have not cleaned out the house yet and got rid of those things that no longer serve you. It still omits your awareness that if it hasn't got you to where you want to be so far, or maybe it has, but you want to go further, the same thing that you're dealing with cannot get you any further than where you are now. It can only take you down. We have to know when the crutches in this reality need to come off. That's what sovereignty is. It's the ultimate act from our ancestors to teach us this soul, this sun that is within. This is where the unity takes place. It unites the paradox. When we all go inside, that's when we see everything. I just gave you a small example today of what I went through. There's 230 of us here on the line right now, and there's about at least 1,000 possibly on YouTube. All had gone through something. When we distill our experiences, that's all I did right now today. I challenged myself yesterday, and it only took me a moment because I lived the situation, so I know exactly what happened. So I said, what were the four things, basically? I didn't even have a number at first. I was like, what are the main things that you had to do in order to get to where you are? And let's shorten that as much as possible and get that to everyone. I said, that's a good idea. And that's when I itemized this, the internal light breath connection. And then all these other things, and that means that if you come to me and you've done the internal light breath connection and you're saying that you're still experiencing problems, I know you didn't do internal light breath connection, because I had gotten myself into quite a bit. Internal light breath connection was working for me. I can't tell you enough about being intelligent, charismatic, fortunate, a little bit of luck, and just how dangerous that is in this reality if you don't know what's going on. People and other beings will use that. I went through a whole life, an earlier life, of watching all my talents and all my powers go to the service of something else, whether it was a job, whether it was all these different vultures that I had going on around me. All these responsibilities that I felt, because I've always been a great person in the aspect of I always wanted to give to everybody. I was always like trying to take care of everybody. I didn't even have a consciousness yet that there were beings that just took advantage of that kind of thing, that they actually went to find people who were open like that just to take from them. It wasn't a part of my makeup. It wasn't a part of my upbringing. It was something I had to learn along the way. So imagine what I had to go through. But I was actually reared up from that process. So same thing here. This is how we gain a certain level of maturity. You can add this now, what I talked to you today about, with what you have. So you already have more in many cases. We stand on the shoulders of giants. This is the pillars to Earth, whatever point oh that this is right now, and how to sustain yourself in this journey and to make sure that you're being responsible for the energy that you're bringing to others, because you're responsible for the energy that you're bringing to yourself. And that each of us, because we got one more day, we have tomorrow. Tomorrow is more of a party for us all. It's the fiesta. Things are over at this point. Remember, Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the last day of the week. So this is the closing. Yesterday, we bought in all of the abundance. You have ninefold spirit. That's just like you got rainbows and all sorts of stuff all around you. Gems, diadems, treasures, regalia. These laws today teach you how to maintain that, because it's just as soon they will sell you of it. They will steal your joy. The next video awaits to convince you that something that was man-made is enough to conquer a supreme. That cannot be true. We cannot allow that into the co-creation and the co-projection. Likewise, we do have some stuff to do. We're still climbing this mountain. It's 2020. We didn't say it was going to be all over. That's why I'm bringing this today. It's not all over yet. Many of us already understand how to guide our energy, so we're in the clear. But the world in this next 3 to 9 months is going to birth, right? Think about this. We know how strong some of these holidays can be at times. We got a little glimpse of it last year, meaning that when Halloween comes around and when all of this, if we don't know how to channel all those energies properly. I mean, they say even the biggest virus for the news industry is that they have to get paid off of shock media right now, and they have to compete with so many different things. It's just basically like, let me show them the worst thing. It's not even the true story. If it sounds like it's great and somebody gets healed and it's a love story and everybody's crying and enjoying it after it, that's a story that they don't need. There are stories like that. They're trying to get the one that's going to feed into the WWF mentality or WWE mentality, where here comes the next virus off the top ropes to clothesline 1,000 people. This is where everybody is at this stage, or not everybody, but many people. So to change that energy around, you need to know how to conduct energy properly by learning how to conduct it within yourself. So as we see in this year, we can say, and this is why we're prepared now. It is complete. The work is complete. In this next 6 months, 3 to 6 months, whatever, the gestation process has already started. To me, it started in December. I saw the fire itself. So it has brought itself to life. The fire was contained, and now it was nourished, and now the spark has started. They removed Solomon from the temple. That was General Suleiman, top number one in Iran, which is basically Samaria. The Chaldean magic, he's out. So now the demons and the angels that built the temple are all in the air now, trying to figure out where their next job is. Then we've rolled into this. Now we have situations that are happening in the world that are all symbolic for our growth in the stages that we'll go through. When you're in alignment, you feel the energy of the plants, the trees, the fish. The season's also changing right now. Costa Rica, this looks like change right now. It looks like the back screen of a movie where everything's still in gray because the seasons are changing. You can look around you. Certain trees, the flowers are open. You hear bees in there. You see the rain touch the ground for the first time possibly in your area. So this is the energy as we know, and this is how you can tell the signs of the times. This is how you can tell what's happening. And so what we see is that there's a birth occurring here, and it's at this stage we're almost like midwives, or should be midwives, doulas, ready to be the support as this gestation is actually happening, and then these seeds become birthed. And then we keep going. I'm not going to say that these seeds go right into maturity. That's also when you dive back in, you realize that everybody's not going to just snap into this and then, okay, now it's all on top. Everything is over with. This is a consistent work in the garden. And when we're all actually doing this, though, it actually gets a bit fun. So we're going to go into this meditation today. Now we have all the keys. As I said, tomorrow is going to be a day of exclaiming. And giving honor and giving thanks as we go into Keymaker Season 3. We have our meditation taking place in the morning also. And I've done the best to also synthesize it, because I know we were out there. Like, it was 22, 23 days. It was a vast journey. Like, I told one of my friends, what we should do is just take the beginnings of all of this and try to compile it into an genealogy series so we can all become more familiar with that. And so he's working on that now. That's our great friend, Napolis. And now, since we've distilled it and made it simple, because there are many that kind of came in midstream anyway with the knowledge or whatever, and some of this stuff may not make sense. I will admit that if I've been immersed in a lifetime of this, I am definitely looking at people at times like they know all of this, which is incorrect. So I do constantly say, hey, try to break that down into something that if a person hasn't gone through that experience, they're still going to understand where you're coming from. I can only do that so well. That's why you're also getting the message, because you're able to then take this and maybe you use your number two. And if you got to break this down a little bit further for somebody that you're also engaged with, that you have a relationship with, that you feel has meaning to you, and you want to see them come into the next stage. My law number four brought me in front of every single being to do that. I want to see every single being get to a stage of harmonic balance with themselves and with their existence to know who they truly are. I know Earth only offers a certain portion of that and can only offer a certain portion of that. This is why we can't understand death. This is why we can't stand to see something being torn up and destroyed on the planet. It is for the adepts that know, well, as the spirit eases away, it becomes more free and is no longer confined by that vessel. So for us to see that process, and but more than anything, and see it, feel it, and know it, is a big level up. I wanted to give a special thanks to a master teacher, Kalindi Iyi, who is on the higher planes at this stage, who, from my understanding, glided out yesterday. And that makes Layla Africa, Kwaito Mutwa, and Kalindi Iyi, they're anchoring things. Just brothers that I know personally had the best intentions, despite how what they came across was interpreted by others. Also, even they face their own frustrations. Like sometimes when you face a certain level of frustration, you can only express yourself through that frustration as an elder. But still knowing the truth in the core of who these beings are. I want to say arise in wholeness. And that our ability, again, tapping back into that breath and knowing that spirit is breath, is the real way that we're able to know the things that we connect to, right? That this is the most important thing, because some may take what I said wrong about, let's say, the external forces, other beings. So that would, somebody say, well, Seven, are you saying none of these beings are here to help us? That's not what I'm saying. Just as sure as I'm here, just as sure as you help someone, there's other beings helping other beings. But what we're also saying is the channels to how beings help you is they empower you internally. It's like a rule with the whole thing. How can you take something from someone that needs something? You cannot help someone taking things from them. Or maybe you can. That's the whole paradox in this. You have to be able to use the discernment. Every single moment, every single time, and every single space is going to require your discernment. Distill it within the four laws, know where you're at, and do your work. Climbing up this mountain with the breaths. That's the last thing I'm going to say. Remember, when you climb a mountain, you're winded. It connects directly to the breath. If you feel like that, A, I don't have enough power to really push this baby out, start taking a breath now. Man, my currency is going to start getting messed up. Start taking a breath now. Some solutions, they're going to come through. And just don't forget, it was the power of breath. Do not get a power and energy away to some other external entity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He gave me money. Keep it going inside and keep taking your breaths, taking yourself through this birthing process and assisting others in going through this birthing process. All right, so I think I've said enough about this. We can all now go into our comfortable position of relaxation. As we say, relaxed, but alert, right? Relaxed, but alert. As we go through this meditation, what we're doing is we're checking our system. We're just going through our systems, just like, you know, you have to do like an audit You need to go take an inventory. And as you go through your system, you're going to be looking at these four laws, and you're going to make a subtle note of keeping yourself aware of how to make sure you're trimming your reality. I also want to make it very clear. I'm not saying put yourself into a straitjacket. This is not Catholicism. I'm saying keep it in balance. Even if, you know, you're still supporting the message, you still feel like that message is central to where you're at in your life. I'm not telling you that there's nothing right or wrong with that. I'm saying make sure that it's got its balanced component. Make sure you're sober enough. Like, yeah, that was pretty negative. I need to actually let me put some positivity with that. And this is what I'm going to do because of that. And I'm even going to write this brother and let him know that this is a better solution for what you're dealing with and experiencing. Hopefully that you get this message, because we love and we care about you truly. I wouldn't even spend my time, just like those beings that are here today, they wouldn't even spend their time even looking at this message if there wasn't some connection between me and them. I respect that connection. I honor that connection. That's why when I come into this space, it goes into like 2 hours and all that. Not because it's like, you know, it just takes this long to get out this message, because really it's been the same message since the beginning. It's that I do really care so much. I feel the personal responsibility. I see the faces and I care for the beings that I see, in even beyond the setting of the eyes. And I see myself and I see all the situations that I've been in life, and when I wish that I had certain things. Like, man, I wish I had a mentor, man. I was at least let me to tell me how to, what should I really be putting in mind? What should I really be watching? And I feel like that we can all do each other also as living beings. This is what I'm saying. Bring it back into the realm of the living. There are people around us that deserve as much attention as we be given to something that we never even seen before that we're still calling on. Some people are calling on these gods, man. Call on your mother. Like, literally call your mother on the phone. Hey, mom, what's good? I just wanted to say thank you so much for bringing me into this existence. Because even now, you probably have a lot of mothers and fathers like, man, I brought my son, I brought my daughter into this mess. Now look at them. So for us, that empowerment and focusing on what's here and what's live and what's tangible for us. So that way we don't neglect it, because there's so many things that we have to do anyway. We don't have the time and the opportunity to actually be entreating something that's so far out there that we don't even know what it is. Spending the time with that time on others that are around us. Mom, dad, I know things are crazy right now, but I just wanted to say, man, what you created is so amazing. I feel so comfortable in what I'm experiencing right now. I feel like I really have some level of clarity here that I'm gaining. Say something. That's the beauty of, if you're going to go external and you put it in your family, it's still your DNA. It's like a little hack in the system. You make moms feel good, you feel good because she's an antenna. Even your brothers and your sisters. So I'm saying more specifically in relation to law number one, if you haven't heard from it, if you don't see it, if it's supposed to do all this stuff and it's not even there with you in the struggle, let it go. And put something there that is. If you need that to be fulfilled in your life, you need something to externally catch a hold to in order to stabilize yourself, which is also a condition in itself. It's not right or wrong. But it does mean that, you know, practice it in an honorable way, because time is time. Time is the real quotient in every part of this existence. Like, I spent 3 hours working with my family. That counts for a lot. If I spend two hours here, building with the family to make sure you get the fine principles. It's like some folks may lead a line now. It's like, okay, that's enough for me. I'm out. All right, great. Glad you got it. Some folks still in there like, yo, I'm connected. I get it. As much as this I can hear is only going to assist me, because it actually puts it into repetition for me. So that's what we're doing here for each other. So let's go into the meditation. I'm going to line this up really briefly. I also wanted to give thanks, especially during this time, to all those that had joined into the space, no matter what time you came in and spent this time with yourself. It's been 23 days of a masterful build with the connection of who we all truly are. And this time that we spent is a well-placed investment. That's why it does have to, like, we do have to, like, bring it to a conclusion at a certain point. So that way you can go and plant this. That way you can go and start reaping the harvest. Some are already reaping the harvest already of putting these applications of this co-creation inside of their consciousness. So I just wanted to say from me to you, since this is the last recording like this, that I feel like personally that we do have some things to go through, but we're going to enjoy going through it together. I feel like that just like in the old days when we were children on adventures, when we were with each other, all the perils became excitement. I feel like there's many that have been called into a special role in all of this and have been kind of questioning themselves for the last years. Where is my role? Where am I at? Where's my assignment? What am I supposed to be doing? And because of dealing with a world that was not necessarily prepared for what you have, there became some frustrations. Don't give up on yourself at this stage. It'd be like pulling out of the charts right before it was about to go up. Keep this investment into self. Don't feel like that this is all over and that you failed and that now whatever it is that you were going to do, you can't do anymore. Quite the contrary. Allow this process to happen also, like what we're seeing happening in the world. This is a process that we're all going through. So you have to give respect to all the other beings also and how they're processing their growth and their transformation. And why we're seeing it also happening, it is very humbling for the level of wisdom that it's taking us all to. Right? Like, this is like when you finally, when you settle a foundation. Like, first you start dumping all this, you know, dirt and all these different things that you want to make as the foundation. But then when you settle it, you press it down and you push it all together. And I feel like that's also what's happening right now in this transitions that is taking place, is that the foundation is pressing itself down. Now you know where everything really stands. So there it is.